This is Willie Terry, your Roman label correspondent for the Hustle Mohawk magazine. And I'm here in Albany at a forum entitled Red State Revolt. And the speaker is Eric Blunt. And I have him right here in front of me. How you doing, Eric?
I'm great. Thanks for talking.
All right. So, Eric, tell me just a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I was a teacher for 8 years in the Bay Area. I've been a public education organizer and an activist for a long time, and I spent the last year and a half traveling around covering the teacher strikes that have popped off across the country. I've been in every single one of the big strikes, writing about it, and also helping organize national support for them.
Okay, and not only that, let's see, you got a book called The Red State Revolt. Just tell me just a little bit about that book.
Yeah, the book just came out. It's about the 2018 statewide teacher strikes in West Virginia, Oklahoma, and Arizona, where I was at. And it's really trying to draw some of the big lessons about these strikes and also to really highlight how important they are for national politics.
So how could one get a copy of your book?
Yeah, it's online. If you go to Amazon or just Google it, you know, there's a lot of different ways to buy it online. And it should be in various different local bookstores as well.
Now, what motivated you to write a book, though?
Well, I mean, the wave of teacher strikes that has popped off in the last year is the highest number of strikes total in the United States for decades. Uh-huh. It's really a game changer. For the first time in a really long time, organized labor is fighting back. It's showing it can win, and it's bringing back the tactic and weapon of the strike, which has been largely abandoned by labor. And so it's a really exciting time, I think, to be a teacher, to be a labor activist, and to feel like, you know, we can turn things around.
So you feel that the teachers have taken the lead?
Yeah, I think it's really clear. You know, the overwhelming majority of workers who went on strike last year were teachers, and I think other workers across the country are looking and seeing them win and are getting inspired by their example.
Why was it that teachers took it on first? You know, you would look like it might be the maybe the auto workers or some truck drivers or some state workers?
That's a really good question. I think part of it is that there's been a really concerted offensive against public education over the last 10, 20 years. So the types of conditions in schools have really deteriorated. So the expectations that teachers had to be able to do their job in an effective way, to be able to actually teach students, has been just so hampered by the underfunding, by the corporate education reform that's just pushing standardized testing, by the privatization. All of these things have made it so that teachers really feel that they can't do their job in the way they used to.
Now, was Chicago the first area where that was a major teacher strike and successful strike?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so 2012 was really in some ways the opening shot of what we're currently seeing. In 2012, there was a big citywide strike in Chicago of the teachers, and it really reflected the type of politics we're seeing now in these more recent strikes, which was teachers' unions fighting not just for their own members, but for parents and students as a whole, really bringing back the strike, willing to challenge not just the Republicans, but also the Democrats. Yeah, it really set the parameter for what labor action could be in the current context.
Mm-hmm. Now, in this era of what they're doing, is it a continuing process, or did it end after the strike, or are they continually doing things to organize the labor movement?
Yeah, the strikes haven't stopped at all. In fact, there's been multiple major strikes just this last year, Los Angeles, Oakland, Sacramento, Denver. Las Vegas teachers just authorized a strike. There was South Carolina and North Carolina had mass protests and walkouts. So did Oregon just in the last couple of weeks. So the teachers' strike wave is continuing. There's no sign that it's going to end anytime soon.
Okay, well, we need to build a labor movement, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think teachers are pointing the way.
All right. All right. Thank you, Eric, and I look forward to your presentation.
Great. Thanks so much. Thanks so much to all of you for coming and to the organizers for having me. And it's what I want to do is briefly lay out why the strikes are so important. That's the first part. And then second, some of the big lessons from the strikes. See this dramatic increase in 2018. Almost 400,000 teachers and education workers struck in 2018. So this is unprecedented as far as the education sector goes. And a really major aspect of why these strikes were so important is also that they were statewide and they were really, really big. And so this is very interesting because 2018 actually had the largest average size of strikes in the history of the United States. But yeah, on average, over 24,000 workers struck in every in the average of the strikes last year. And the reason that's significant is that the strikes weren't just numerous workers involved, but they were so big and powerful. They were statewide. They broke the law. They brought in community members 18. And so the strikes that happened, beginning in West Virginia, were statewide for the most part. And in order to make that happen, they had to break the law. And we'll get back to that, but that was a significant aspect. So they're able to kind of break out of the confines of the existing labor regime in the United States, which makes us generally bargain in the narrowest possible terrain, which is why we're kind of set up to lose. There was two other industries that struck in significant numbers and fitting. Yes, nurses are one, and there's one other. There's significant strikes in hotels. And one of the big similarities then of these three industries, you can think of various ones, but the one that I think is most striking is that these are overwhelmingly female workforces. Mm-hmm. So you really have a labor movement and a strike wave that's led by women workers, and that's really exciting. And it looks different. It means the working class and the labor movement, you know, it looks different than it did before, and we should be happy about it. We should celebrate that. But just taking a step back, one of the reasons the strikes are so, you know, historically significant is that they won a lot, too. Our side has been getting really pummeled for the last 40 years in a one-sided class war the billionaires have subjected us to. And for the first time in a very long time, the labor movement has started to fight back and win, right? And we've been faced with this neoliberal offensive that was mentioned earlier, and the strikes have posed a possibility of beginning to turn the tide on that. And that's the ultimate historic significance of this, is that for the first time, people get a sense of their own power. And part of that is the strikes won, and then when you see a strike win, then you say, oh, why can't we do the same thing? And you know, just to give a brief overview, in places like Arizona, which is far from a progressive or even liberal bastion, they got 20% pay raises for educators. They defeated privatization schemes. They were able to get more funding for students. In West Virginia, they were able to defeat privatization attempts, get a 5% raise for all public employees. They defeated an attempt to double their healthcare costs for all public employees in the state. And the list goes on. Los Angeles, as was mentioned earlier, went even further. They dramatically lowered class sizes. They won more nurses and counselors in the schools. You know, so not only did the strikes prevent bad things from happening, but they actually began to turn the tide and start winning back some of the rights that we've lost over these years. So that's a significant aspect. A second significant aspect is just how many people, and again, this was mentioned earlier, were transformed by these events. You're talking about literally hundreds of thousands of teachers who participated, but for every teacher, you have dozens of students, if not more, and you have, in total, you're talking about millions of students and millions of family members who were affected and participated in the strikes. And these strikes were transformative events. People describe them an almost religious experience, you know, where you go and you're surrounded by tens of thousands of your coworkers who all of a sudden become your friends and will house you for the evening, they will feed you, and you're engaging in a collective action and a real risk together with them. And that sense of powerlessness and individual isolation that really constrains our day-to-day lives and really, you know, marks our day-to-day lives, almost overnight, because of the power of these strikes and the being at the Capitol and where everyone's chanting and wearing red, really changed people's lives for good. And that was one of the things that, you know, talks about in the book, just how many people went through this experience and changed radically how they related to their coworkers, how they related to their community, and just how they felt about themselves as agents for change. And I thought the most inspiring aspect of it was not just the organizers, but people who had never gone to a union meeting before, people who had never been involved in anything, and who sometimes just the day before were still skeptical, but then who in the process of the walkout itself sometimes became the most militant and became the people who didn't want to go back at the end, and who, you know, got a taste of power and was like, didn't want to go back to the way things were. So there's a transformation of the people that participate, and there's also a transformation of public consciousness around the crisis of public education. So yeah, as was mentioned earlier, the dominant discourse, as I'm sure you all know, has been for years around education, like in other public sector work, that the crisis of schools is because of unions, right? Greedy unions, lazy teachers, and the inherent inefficiencies of the public sector. So you got to bring in the private sector and market competition and all of the genius of capital to make our schools work. And so because the strike wave forced a change in the political conversation, it made it clear that the overwhelming majority of the public actually supports teachers. According to the national polls, you have 75 to 78% of the public supports the teachers' strikes and their demands. That's huge. And that's not just national. It's not just in blue states. In places like Oklahoma and Arizona, the numbers were the same. So what you're talking about is actually like a really deep sentiment in favor of public education and against the type of corporate myth-making that has been dominant, not just with Republicans, but under Democrats as well. The significance then is that it changed people's own sense of power. It won major gains, and it led to a transformation of the national political conversation.